are. Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. And today is Open Mic Friday, August the 26th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Open Mic Friday, it means you can take over the mic just by calling in the St. Louis area, 821-0850, or in the St. Louis area or anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. I'm Tom Baker. We're only so willing to take your calls. So without further ado, let's begin. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
This is Marilyn.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
Sure. I have a couple of things that I wanted to comment about. I don't know if you've ever seen on television Reflections. I mean, it is absolutely beautiful. They play real soft music and have the background covering God's wonderful earth without all the unnecessary things that are there. And then they have scripture all the way through, just pulling out various. It is just beautiful. I only happened on it a couple of times. My son called me this morning. He said, Mom, it's on. Now, this was 3:30 this morning. Ask him what he was doing up.
Yes.
but I was up, too, so it didn't matter. Okay. The other thing I wanted to comment or ask about, I wish you'd really clarify for me. I get so confused. Sanctification, justification, and Pentecost. I've heard that many, many times, but it still just really gets all muddled up in my brain. And I could hang up and listen.
Well, no, go ahead. Let me share with you. You have a son, and he was born into your family, right?
My son.
That would be like justification. That's the moment when you got a child. Now, as he grew up, he behaved in certain ways, did he not?
Well, unfortunately, yes, and now he's disabled.
Yes. Well, that's sanctification. Justification is when you come to faith and you are now a believer. Sanctification is how does a Christian respond to what God has done for him or her. His sanctification or her sanctification does not save you at all. You've already been saved by justification when the Holy Spirit put faith in your heart. But you see, as Christians, we respond a lot of times with sin and sometimes with fruit of the Holy Spirit. And God looks at that, and that's called sanctification. Pentecost, that you mentioned, is simply that occasion when the Holy Spirit came into the hearts of people.
So in fact, at your baptism, isn't this when the Holy Spirit comes into you?
Yes. But you see, that's part of, for example, in not this week, but next week, Trinity at Orchard Farm, we're going to be baptizing a little boy just been born. And we're going to say that in that baptism, the Holy Spirit comes into his heart and he's moved from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. Now, he's going to start behaving in a different way because he now has the Holy Spirit within him, and that's called sanctification.
Okay.
All righty?
Yes, I think I have it well. If I could say one other thing.
Sure, Marilyn.
Stephanie Hammond, she's forever been a member of Missouri Baptist, the village church there, but she now works for World Vision. And she's headed overseas to these refugee camps, 850,000.
Wow.
Spreading the word of our Jesus. And she's going to be there for a month.
All right. We'll sure keep her in our prayers, okay? All right. God bless. And anybody else can call 821-0850. That's in the St. Louis area. Toll free 1-800-730-2727. Stephanie is going overseas. And in fact, if you were listening to By the Way, which came on just before me, they were talking also about how a lot of kids are going to school and we're looking forward to them being taught properly the Word of God. All righty. Let's go back to the phone lines and let's talk to Charles. Hi, Charles.
Hi, Pastor Baker. Following up on, I forgot her name that you were just talking to.
Marilyn.
Marilyn, yeah. Talking about justification, sanctification. Can you give me just a brief summary, and then I have a follow-up question, on how you balance justification, sanctification in a sermon?
Yes. Theology is the art of making distinctions. The law, God used it in three ways. The first way is his use in the area of government, and that's to keep us out of chaos, keep peace in the world. God, doesn't matter what your motivation is for stopping at a stop sign. All the government cares about is you stop at a stop sign. Then there's a second and third use of the law. The second use is the primary use in the church to bring people to faith, where you have as a mirror the law to show them what a sinner they are in order that they might therefore be prepared to hear about the gospel. The third use that God makes of the law is for Christians who ask, what is the will of God in my life? So when I'm preaching sanctification, I'm preaching the third use of the law.
Exactly.
When I'm preaching about justification, I use the second use of the law to prepare them for the hearing of the gospel. So every sermon, when we talk about law and gospel, what we mean by that is the particular text accuses you of something where you are falling short of the glory of God. The gospel comes through and shows you how God fixed it for you without any help and cooperation on your part. So if I'm talking sanctification, I'll be using the third use, and that's necessary in sermons because a lot of people are getting confused. Is it okay to have gay marriage or is it not? Well, the third use shows us it's not okay to have that. But then the second use accuses each person personally of not following God's will, depending on the Bible verse that is the text for that particular week.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of criticism for the lack of a better term, that Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is a little lax on sanctification, the preaching on sanctification in the average sermon? I remember a pastor that I had years and years and years ago, very seldom, if ever, well, I shouldn't say if ever, but very seldom, preached anything on the application of what our responsibility is to follow the Lord. And he said, well, I preach justification because you get justification right, sanctification will follow. So in other words, he didn't touch it. And I heard a sermon coming up, driving through St. Louis. It was on Sunday, and forgot what church it was. But the basic text was, if you love me, you obey my commands. And the pastor, and I don't know, I don't want to sound like a curmudgeon by saying this, but he spent the entire sermon talking about how we are not able to obey, of course, and I understand that it's by the power of the Holy Spirit to the Word of God and sacraments, but he never did enter the reality in his sermon about application of actually obeying Jesus because we love him. I don't know if it's making any sense in my question or not.
Well, I'll tell you a distinction I make here. I don't ever say in a sermon, we should obey Jesus because we love him. And the reason I don't say that is people don't have the power to love him. It's either there or not. And if you take a look at Matthew 25, where Jesus brings in sanctification, remember why the sheep are going to heaven? Because Jesus sees fruit of the Holy Spirit. They visited people in prison, et cetera, et cetera. He never says, you did this because you love me, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, they brought forth fruit of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, the Sermon on the Mount would be a good example, and this passage here about how Jesus did stress the life of sanctification.
Okay. So when Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands, what did he mean there?
That's really good. That is not a command. That is a promise. If you love me, you will obey my commands. And when he said that to the sheep, remember their response? When do we do all these things? They couldn't remember them because it's so automatic when you are a Christian that you just do these things spontaneously. And he's making a promise here. If you have love towards me, which means you believe in my promises, then you will definitely be obeying my commandments. And that's what these people were doing.
Fair enough. Thanks, Pastor.
You're welcome. And we'll go down the line here and let's talk to Diane. Hi, Diane. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor Tom.
Good morning.
I'm reading Luther's Large Catechism about baptism.
Oh, yes.
He makes a statement, because without the sacraments, no one can be a Christian. And that just took me back, you know.
Wow. Is that a direct quote?
Yeah, it does.
What part is that under? I mean, is it...
baptism. Okay, he's saying every Christian should at least have some brief general instruction about, you know, the sacraments, although in the past, unfortunately, nothing was taught about them, because without the sacraments, no one can be a Christian. Page 98.
Well, unfortunately, I have the Lutheran Confessions, the Reader's Edition. So baptism is on page 451.
Okay.
So I'm looking here at, is it near the beginning or?
The fourth part on baptism, it's in the beginning.
Yes, yes. Oh, it is in the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking at it right here now. See, baptism is not our work, but God's work. Gives us great strength and comfort. He says, if God did nothing through baptism, how do baptized children believe? Which paragraph is it in? The paragraphs are numbered.
It's in the first paragraph.
Oh, okay. You read what you read.
The whole thing or just that one?
No, just that one thing.
It says, because without the sacraments, no one can be a Christian.
Okay, I'm looking at that.
And then he said, goes on to say, we shall first take up baptism.
Okay, I found it.
Okay.
Every Christian also ought to have at least an ordinary brief instruction about the sacraments, because without them, he cannot be a Christian. What he means by that, notice in the context, and this is what I thought. Obviously, they need to have a ordinary brief instruction about the sacraments. So these are people who have lived since Pentecost and Jesus ordained the Lord's Supper. The point that he's making is not that you are an unbeliever, but a Christian would be someone who follows the will of God. God's will is that we be baptized, and we therefore also take the Lord's Supper. So, for example, when you sin, are you doing a Christian act?
Well, every Christian sins.
I know, but the question...
No.
Okay, sin. But are you still a Christian?
Yes.
Yes, and that's what he means here. You cannot be a Christian in full and deny the sacraments.
Okay, all right.
All right, he's not saying you're an unbeliever, but just as a Christian's, when we're sinning, we're not acting as a Christian. When we repent of our sin, we are acting as a Christian. And therefore, You want to be a Christian in full? There's no way you can do that and deny the sacraments.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Thank you so very much. All righty. And anybody else can call at 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. That kind of reminds me how important parochial school is these days, because in a parochial school, you are definitely being taught that which is not contrary to the Word of God, and public schools are not even able, for example, as we were talking to Charles, to teach the proper use of the third use of the law, namely what God's will is. If a public school teacher speaks out against homosexuality or abortion, she could be fired. This is why the parochial school I'm affiliated with now at Trinity Lutheran and Orchard Farm, we had our first week of school, and I received this letter that was addressed to our teachers at the school, and it was from a father. Good morning. I've never heard the kids be so excited about the first week of school. Comments like, I love math. It's my favorite. The best first day of my life. I love math packets. They are awesome. Mrs. Loeffler is so much fun. Mrs. J-Pin is the most awesome teacher I've ever had. I love Miss Grader. She's not my teacher, but she makes me so happy when I see her in the morning when we sing. And then too many comments to mention about the Chromebooks. It makes me happy to see such excitement inside that little school. You are all a huge asset to the school, he's talking about to the teachers, and to helping raise our children. Keep it up, and I'm sure we are headed in the right direction. We are truly blessed. And I would hope that if you're all interested in the St. Charles area, there are a number of parochial schools, but Trinity Orchard Farm, we have a situation there where we have like one teacher or a helper for every five students. You don't find that in a public school. They just don't have those many helpers, etc. So if you want good teaching, I'll tell you, you may want to think about Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm. And we go back to the phone lines and talk to James, who obviously never went to a parochial school because he hardly knows anything.
Well, actually, Pastor, I did.
You did? Oh, good. No, I'm pulling your leg because you are always very good with theology. So I just didn't realize you went to a school. So what's your question? How can I help you today?
Well, I'd like to know the definition of kenosis, and I'd like for you to take a look at Romans chapter 7, verses 4 through 6. And tell me if it's speaking of that process of kenosis, and also if justification or sanctification is found in those verses.
Okay, do you want to stay on the line or?
No, we're going to go back and listen to
okay,
you.
All right. Thank you very much, James. All right. When he says kenosis, that is a Greek word for knowledge. And so what he's asking about, what is Romans 7, 4 to 6, talking about, and remember, Romans 7 is that great chapter, the things I want to do, I'm unable to do, the things I want to stop from doing, I'm always doing. And 4 to 6 reads, likewise, my brothers, you have also died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. 4. While we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we may serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. This is a great law and gospel understanding. Remember, the word law has about 12 different meanings in the Bible. So when Paul says, but now we are released from the law, he's not talking about we're released from wanting to obey the law or obeying the law, because it says in verse 4 that God has saved us that we may bear fruit for God. And the fruit, of course, is obedience to the law. So what law are we released from? Well, he says that we were held captive by it. And he says the written code. What we're released from is the curse of the law. In the day that you sin, you shall surely die. We're released from that. And so we're not released because of gnosis, namely because of knowledge. You see, there was a heresy in the early church, Gnosticism it was called, where you were saved by amassing a greater amount of knowledge. No, Scripture says you're saved because you have faith, and that's trust in the promises of God. And so knowledge is important, so you know what God's will is. We already talked about that, the third use of the law. But that's not what saves you. What saves you is your trust in the promises of God. So this first part in Romans 7 is just a wonderful example of the distinctions between law and gospel that we like to talk about. And we'll just move on to talk to Cheryl. Cheryl, you're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Baker. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling because I was listening to the caller who had the question about the large catechism, Luther's comment, because without the sacraments, he cannot be a Christian.
Yes.
And I've been reading the book, Where Christ is Present, and I would recommend that to everyone. The sacraments, that's where Christ promises to be present. And in Matthew 18, verse 20, he says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, and he promises to be among us.
Yes.
So that, you know, that where Christ is present, that's important to realize that in the sacraments, that is where he promises to be present.
Yeah, what you're talking about is also the definition of the church. Where is the church? It's not where people worship. It's not a building you go to have potlucks in. It's not even a group of people. Like, the church may go to a restaurant and maybe have a Bible study while they're eating or such. No, the church is best defined where the Word of God is taught in its purity. And the next part you'll find interesting. And the sacraments are administered properly. And that means, where is Jesus? Because he is the head of the church, and it is where you hear the word of God. That's why I've always said the two most important decisions you make in your life, and these are decisions you can make, who you marry, because that's supposed to be lifelong, and number two, what congregation you join. And I always tell people, like even folks who are going into an area where there may be a number of our own churches, to visit them ahead of time, hear what the pastor is saying, discover what is the important doctrines in that church so that you join a church where the Word of God truly is taught in its purity and the sacraments administered rightly.
Thanks so much for your program, Pastor Baker.
And thank you so much for calling, Cheryl. We're kind of out of time, so we're not going to be taking any other calls. But on Monday, do you know that, and this kind of fits in with what Marilyn started, I'm sorry, Diane, with a large catechism about not being a Christian. We're going to look at a text that says, if anyone does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, he cannot be my disciple. Well, maybe there's some brothers and sisters who won't be sad when they hear that because they don't like their brothers and sisters a lot of times. But that's not what that text is talking about. And so we're going to take a look. What does that text mean? To hate your father and mother, et cetera, et cetera. Because you can't be a Christian if that is true. It kind of, you're going to find out, is very similar to if you kind of hate the sacraments, you can't be a Christian. And what I'm saying is, yeah, you may not lose your faith, but a Christian is someone who loves the whole will of God. And we'll examine this more. It's going to be for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, which is on September the 4th. But That's what we always do on Mondays. We take a look at one of the readings and see what we can come up with. Well, in case you were wondering where Trinity Orchard Farm is, you just take 370 across the Missouri River and going west, and you get off immediately at the first exit. It's Highway 94, and when you get to the light, you turn left, go 5 miles on 94, and there's Trinity Lutheran School and also Trinity Lutheran Church. So, if you're all interested in getting your children into a wonderful school where the Word of God is taught in its purity, you'll want to contact them. I'll be preaching there Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with a Bible class at 9:15. Till Monday, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.